Good morning. Welcome as we come again to worship on a rather wet and damp morning. But welcome if you've gathered here in person or if you're joining us online. We welcome you this morning in the name of Christ, and we hope that you feel at home in this place as we come to worship a God who we know and believe is alive and well today and who is at work in the world around us. And so in one sense, we don't just leave the world to come to this moment. We carry, each of us carry something with us into this moment, into the presence of God. We carry things that we will want to pray for, things that we want to lay down before him, things that weigh heavy on us, but also things we want to give thanks for and rejoice in before we head back out again, scatter again into his world to be his presence in all of those places once again. Let's pray as we begin today. Father, we thank you that you are indeed present with us in this moment. We thank you that as we take a moment to pause today, specifically to focus on you, we are reminded that it's not just in those moments that you are present with us, but often it's in this moment that we focus our presence for you. And so as we come to offer our praise and our thanksgiving, as we come to hear and receive your holy word, as we come to pray for the needs of the world around us, as we come to seek the forgiveness of our sins, we pray that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we may give ourselves to the service of you. In the name of our blessed Saviour, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Please take your seats as we come to that attitude of confession. Important as we gather together as God's people, that we confess before a holy and a perfect God our sins and seek his forgiveness in it, that he alone can cleanse us, renew us, refresh us, restore us. And so we say together, Lord God. Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done wrong in your sight. We are truly sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So may the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sin, restore us in his image to the praise and glory of his name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Today we're going to use the psalm, as we do often. The psalm is appointed for today, which is Psalm 123. We're going to use this by alternate verse. I'll say the first one. I lift up my eyes to you, to who sit enthroned in heaven. As the eyes of slaves look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a female slave look to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God till he shows us his mercy. Have mercy on us, Lord, have mercy on us, for we have endured no end of contempt. We have endured no end of ridicule from the arrogant, of contempt from the proud. Glory to the Father and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. Amen. Last week, I forgot to bring something with me, but this week I have remembered to bring something with me. I wonder, does anybody here enjoy doing this as a pastime? Jigsaws. Hands up if you love to do jigsaws. Comment in the live stream if you like to do jigsaws as well, and maybe even comment on live stream how the largest number of pieces that you've ever done in a jigsaw. I've managed 5. No, I'm only joking. Some of you actually thought that was real, didn't you? Jigsaws are wonderful things, aren't they? It's a massive big picture cut up into tiny little pieces and then scattered in a box. And then you have to put all the pieces back together again to see the big picture. It takes time, takes patience, takes tenacity, takes effort, all of those things. If you start with the tiniest little pieces, you only see the corner of a bus in this case, or the corner of Big Ben, or the corner of a telephone box. It's not until you put all those little pieces together that you see the big picture. Our psalm that we just said, I lift up my eyes to you who sits enthroned in heaven. God enthroned in heaven sees the big picture. And sometimes we only see the one or two little jigsaw pieces that we have in our lives. And we wonder, how on earth is that ever going to fit with anything else? But the one who knows, who is real and who is sovereign, sees the big picture. In fact, the Bible tells us that he works for the good of all those who love him and who are called according to his purposes. God's working out his purpose. He's putting together his big picture in this place of what we're to look like, of who we're to be. And whenever the picture comes together, it will reveal something that is magnificent. But we need to have patience, tenacity, effort to make sure that we're putting the right pieces together to show the big picture. Don't get disheartened. Your little piece is truly important. You are truly important. And you're needed to make the big picture. We're going to hear some more of this from God's word now.
This morning's reading is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1, reading verses 15 to 23. The reading is entitled, Thanksgiving and Prayer. Thanksgiving and Prayer. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, so far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Here ends this morning's reading.
So thank you to Joe for reading God's word for us today. We started a new series last week, Whole Life Worship, how we go about connecting what it is that we do and gather to do in church, if you like, as a body of believers each week, how we connect that with the everydayness of our daily lives. As Sarah put it last week, how we worship God whenever we're changing a nappy, doing the hoovering, or being in the job that we don't want to be in. How, or even in the good moments, how we connect with God and worship him. Sarah laid a number of challenges with us last week to go out of here and to really connect and to think about how we worship in those everyday moments. She's in McGabry today. She hasn't been instituted into McGabry. She's preaching at the Church in the Hill where she, Sarah had done a number of placements there with them, and she's back with them for today. And so last week we thought about, in Romans chapter 12, by being a living sacrifice, how we offer up our lives to God. This week it's about a refreshed vision. It's about how we receive a refreshed vision of who we are, of what God has done for us, and who we're to be as the church. So what is worship? That's the question that we're really asking over these number of weeks. What is worship? Well, it's what we do with our whole lives. It's not just our singing. And I, for one, as was challenged last week, as I've been before, that often my frame of mind, whenever I talk about worship, is me singing. Not necessarily tunefully, but I love that little verse in the Psalms that says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. That's me. In my head, I'm making a joyful noise, and that's enough. But too often, I equate that with worship. We talk about standing to worship. We talk about going to worship. But yet, worship is all of our lives. It's what we do in the everydayness. So we get worship as fundamentally intended by God. We need to see the bigger picture. To understand worship as God has intended it, we need to see the bigger picture. A bit like the jigsaw. Sometimes we only see the little pieces and we don't see what it's going to look like. Not just singing, not just church going, not just good living. It's grasping who God is and what he has done for you. See, in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, praise be to the God and Father for our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. That's how the Apostle Paul starts his letter to this church in Ephesus. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has blessed us in the heavenly realms. He starts by lifting them into a different understanding of what he's about to say. Now, the book of Ephesians has lots of challenges in it. There's a couple of rebukes in it for the Ephesian church as well. But he starts it by lifting their minds and their eyes towards heaven. And he says, let's praise God, who is worthy of our praise. Just like that jigsaw piece. If you sit down to do a 500-piece jigsaw or a 1,000-piece jigsaw, in one sense, you would be quite foolish to empty all the pieces of the jigsaw out onto the floor or on the table and then put the box away in the cupboard. I would say you keep the box out so you can see what the big picture is, and then you start going, now, is that the corner at the top right, the bottom right, the... And you start piecing it according to, or you pick an image out and you start thinking, oh, Big Ben, I could pick all the clock faces out and put them together, and something starts to come together. For us to grasp worship, to see worship with all of our lives, then we must see the bigger picture of who God is. We must allow his spirit to lead us, his word to guide us. Whenever we begin to see the bigger picture, we get more into it. We move deeper with him. Paul's letters in the New Testament are often strewn with points of prayer. And he is praying. He tells those churches, I have been praying for you. I will continue to pray for you in my prayers for you. I wonder if you were to ask the Apostle Paul to pray for this church in Der Volge, what would you ask him to pray for? That got me thinking as I was preparing this earlier in the week. What's the big picture that you think we need to be praying for? I heard a preacher once say, show me your bank account and I will show you where your priorities lie. Just think about that for a wee moment. Show me your bank account or your checkbook, it was in those days, and I will show you where your priorities lie. It could also be said, let me hear your prayers and I will tell you what truly matters to you. Because often what we pray for are the things that our hearts are burdened for. The things that our hearts are burdened for are the places that we find ourselves the most often, are the places that God calls us to worship. Now, don't put the next slide up just yet. I love waterfalls. there's something about them. They kind of captivate me. Whenever I see one, I have to stop and look at it. I don't know whether it's the noise or the way the water flows, the change in the stream, the activity that it brings. I'm not sure. There's going to be an image come on the screen now. And can you or do you know where this waterfall is? The back row's not allowed to answer. No? Sorry? Glenarm? No. Glenarriff? Nope. No. This waterfall not only captivates me, but it holds a special place in my life. No, it's not. It's close to Ballymena, but it's not in Ballymena, Robbie. But you could go through the Promised Land to get to it. It's kind of out the other side of the Promised Land. Spot on. It is where I proposed to my darling wife. Bended on one knee. Nearly fell in. No, I didn't. Praying and hoping that there would be nobody else there. It's a little waterfall called Glen Oe on the Antrim coast, outside Larne. The National Trust run it and own it, and they call it Northern Ireland's hidden gem. If you've never been, go. It's not a long walk to it or around it, but it's a captivating place. And just out the back of it was where they used to make Maud's ice cream, which is also a very good thing to go and visit. But waterfalls captivate me. And in one sense, what Paul is saying in this Ephesians passage that we're going to dig into a little bit now is that this is a waterfall of praise. Waterfalls are the unending water. They keep going. And the more water is in the up the stream, the faster the waterfall goes, the fuller the waterfall is. What are you filling your stream with so that your waterfall of praise is overflowing? How is your life worshiping God to the point where it captivates not only you, but other people? This church in Ephesus is a young church. It's leaning back to the old gods of paganism and of Rome, and Paul casts their vision forward in an attitude of praise. And as I wrote that down in my notes, Paul cast their vision forward in an attitude of praise. A little children's chorus came to my mind. The prayers go up and the blessings come down. The prayers go up and the blessings come down. Because what we pray for, what you pray for, what I pray for, shows where our priorities lie, shows where our worship is heading. You see, in verse 10, it says this: to be put into effect with all the times will be revealed their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. This is a compelling unity. God is going to bring everything together. He's going to show us the big picture, and it will be magnificent. That's why he is worthy of our praise. This is a renewed vision. Verse 15 says, for this reason, Paul says, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation so that you may know him better. Again, calling us to an attitude of praise. No matter what it is that we're doing or where we find ourselves, to lift our eyes and give him our worship. It's not always easy, James. How are you supposed to do that, James? Times are difficult. You don't understand the situation that I'm currently finding myself in. Could be the response or the retort to some of the things that I've already said today? Or can I assure you that whenever we worship God, we don't neglect the joy that he gives to us. And biblical joy is not just a sense of let's be happy all the time. Biblical joy is a sense of knowing that we can hand it over to someone else who is in control. As we're renewing a vision that says, you're worthy of my worship, and I give thanks for you. And this is a whole life vision. Verse 22 says, and God placed all things under his feet and appointed him, that is Jesus, to be the head over everything for the church, which is the body of the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. I can't just give him the scraps. It's all of it. God is sovereign. Whenever we lose that, we lose everything. Skipped a bit out in the middle as I reread those verses. Listen to that now. It says, Paul says, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him in the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule, authority, power, and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. That lifts our eyes to see the God who is able, who is willing, and he has the capabilities to do it. It's not about you. It's not about me. But it is about him. And we start our true act of worship whenever the Apostle Paul says we grasp the fact that Christ was raised from the dead. Because he died for you. But he was raised from the dead to defeat life's final enemy. He was raised from the dead to show that his incomparable power and strength is present with us today. He was raised from the dead to show that every other God who has ever lived and been worshipped on this earth is nothing in comparison to him, because they have all died and stayed dead. He's alive. He's alive. And that makes him worthy of our praise and our worship. And we can call that strength, that moment, that power into every moment in our lives, giving us confidence that what we do on a Monday is as important as what we are doing now. That gives us confidence that what we do on a Monday is as important as what we are doing now. Important as it is to gather together as a church, as a body of believers, it's important that we worship him in the every other moment of our lives. See, Colossians 2 and 23 says, three and 23. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as if you're working for the Lord. So what's the most important thing that you can do this week? What's the most important thing that you can do this week? Let God's Spirit guide you. God's word rule you and me to see the importance of what it is that we do for him. Let's pray. Lord of the nations, awaken us to all your word and tells us about what you require of us. Deliver us from being complacent. Deliver us from being complacent whenever the moral fabric of a nation fades away. Show us afresh today your standards of right and wrong. Open our eyes to the true meaning. Show us the signs of your displeasure, what is wrong in our nation, and burden our hearts to pray for it. Help us to seek good and not evil, to maintain justice and not self-interest. And Lord, like never before in a nation, in our nation, grant us a spirit, an attitude of repentance before you. We thank you that your will is that we should worship you and fellowship of your church with our brothers and sisters, serve you in the life of our world. Give us a deep sorrow for the things that we have done wrong. Our lives may be transformed and renewed, that we might recharacterize our society with integrity and with godliness. That in our everyday worship, others might ask, why? Give us life and energy. Teach us to conserve and not to squander. Renew our wonder at your creation. Captivate us with your beauty. So in your hands, O Lord, we might commend ourselves and all who are dear to us this day. And so in this moment, we pray for those we know who are ill at home or in hospital. Today we pray especially for George. Lord, grant that in all our comings and goings, in the everydayness of our lives, strengthen us for worship of you and for the work that you've prepared for us to do. Help us to see that our piece of the jigsaw is vital and important for the revelation of your big picture. Grant that we might be filled with your Holy Spirit. We might walk worthy of a high calling and joyfully achieve all that you want us to. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Use the collect of this the second Sunday before Advent. Heavenly Father, whose blessed Son was revealed to destroy the works of the devil and to make us the children of God and heirs of eternal life, grant that we, having this hope, may purify ourselves even as he is pure, that when he shall appear in power and great glory, you may be made like him in his eternal and glorious kingdom, where he is alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. As we pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. A few quick announcements today. DVK, or primary school ministry, continues on a Friday evening. If you know anyone at primary school who would love to participate in that, please get them to send us a wee message and we'll get them signed up for it. Our small step service continues on a Tuesday at 10 a.m. An opportunity for a said morning prayer, short service. If you know someone who maybe feels that Sunday mornings just aren't quite capable yet, it's a great opportunity to come along to that, or indeed anyone is able and invited to come. Our life groups continue online on a Tuesday evening. If you need to sign up to those, send Sarah and myself a message and we will get you the details for that. We take what we've used on a Sunday morning and we go that little bit further with an opportunity to explore together, to ask questions and to grow together. We gather, we grow, and then we scatter, as we've said. Der Volge Youth, or Ministry for Young People, has been meeting over a number of weeks, actually, as we set out a few months ago. And there's a small group of young people there in their secondary school age. So if you know someone who's of that age and would benefit from that, please do message us, let us know, we'll get you the details of all that's going on for them. I can see that many of you took me up on the suggestion of slur last week for the Christmas hampers, according to the overflowing of it in the porch, but plenty more needed. So we're partnering again with Lisburn Food Bank. They've asked us to provide slur and sugar this year for their Christmas hamper appeal. And lots of other churches across Lisburn are providing the other parts of the hamper as well. So please do, over the next number of weeks, continue to bring them and leave them in the porch at any stage that the church is open, but more especially on a Sunday if you're coming for worship. We're thinking towards Christmas and what Christmas will look like this year for us as a parish. And one of the things that we're engaged in at the moment is a virtual nativity for our children. And so please, families, watch out for that. In the next number of days, you'll get a wee email asking for your children to participate in that. And we're putting that together so we can still have our traditional nativity, if you like. But it'll be in a slightly different format this year, as much of our Christmas, other Christmas events will be too. But more details about them coming down the line as well. Don't forget, the basket is at the door on the way out for your free will offering envelopes. Oh, okay. I was getting hand signals from the back. I didn't know what that was. Pajamas. So it's lovely. And many of us maybe will have grown up with the tradition of having a fresh pair of pajamas for Christmas. And so to go with the Christmas hampers, you can supply pajamas for children where the hampers will go out to. You can leave them in the porch as well, both boys and girls' pajamas. Thank you for reminding me of that. It always keeps me right. The basket's at the door for your free will offering envelopes. If you're watching online and you wish to give electronically, you find the details for that in our resources section of our website. But as we leave here today to go out to continue our worship of the one who is worthy of our praise, we've just sung Give Thanks. Maybe that's a challenge for us this week, to give thanks to God. Each day to pause, to stop, and to spend just a few moments giving thanks for what he has given to us. And maybe even giving thanks for the people that he's placed into our lives, our family, our friends, the people who are members of this church. Give thanks that we are brought together to worship. We are being brought together with our little jigsaw pieces to create the big picture of what he has for us. But we conclude with a verse from 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 17. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honour and glory forever and ever. And so may the blessing of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon each one of us this day and forevermore. Amen. Amen.